You are listening to episode number 118 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
And aren't you sorry?
Don't talk about Darth like that. Episode number 118, yes, 118 of the episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always and forever will be until Arnold finally commits me to assassination. I am your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me tonight, the man who likes to hang out on rooftops at night, Taser, welcome to the show.
Hey, where's my binoculars, damn it?
And the man who secretly wishes he was with Dick Grayson, Mr. Arnold Alfred. Arnold, welcome to the show. Yo.
It's true.
Well, he could make his costume.
I could.
He could be like that guy in Invincible, make all the superhero costumes, do them fitting.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening, I highly doubt it, but in case you are, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether it's comics, movies, video games, TV shows, porn, and especially next week, musicals. Tune in for later in the show. But let's get right into it. First and foremost, we have some more news on Thor: The Dark World. Turns out we have two more casting reports. I'm doing the news reports this time and not Fearless, simply because he decided to... He's doing his sister's homework again, and she has access to the laptop, so yeah. So it turns out that both the god of Asgardian lore, Tyr, has been cast. He will be played by Richard Brake, not to be confused with Richard Blake of The Dark Knight Rises, and Clive Russell will be playing a captain of the, God help me, I'm going to pronounce this, Einherjar. Asgardian. I'm going to just say Asgardian badasses. How about that?
All right.
A new Asgardian will be making his debut onto the big screen, and some more lower Asgardian warriors will be making their way onto the big screen next year. No, November of 2013. So next fall, 1 year, a little over 11 months from now. So that's cool. I mean, to see Tyr, he's not, like Taser was explaining to me, he's not like... Ares or Kratos or even War from the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. He's a lot less than that.
He's such a disappointment. As a matter of fact, during what was it? Was it Fear Itself? I think it was Fear Itself. He was scared. He was like, oh my god, I don't want to go out there.
That means I think they're gonna make him if he is the Greek god of war, like this master tactician. They're going to do that to him, if anything, just to...
Well, I'll say this. It's been a long time coming because back before my big embargo on Marvel books, he would show up every now and again and missing a hand and everything. He would bark something, make some noise, and then get punked by somebody. And I'm like, he's the god of war. How's he... You people suck! So, yeah, Tyr has never impressed me. As long as I've known him, and that's been a while. So if they do something good with him, if he has a good showing here, I'll be pleased. I'm not expecting it, and I still kind of doubt it happens, though.
Arnold, what do you think about this? These casting rumors, these confirmed castings, rather, not rumors.
I think it's cool. I'm always glad to hear about different characters being thrown into the mix or what characters being put in. As usual, if I would say with Thor, I really guess I have to buckle down and start doing some research, because honestly, I'm not really sure of the characters that they're referencing. I've heard them in passing and here and there, but I don't know a lot, or rather enough about them to say, yeah, I'm excited. I'm kind of just going off of what you guys are saying or what you guys have told me, but yay for more casting notices.
You know what? Who I think they're we're missing through. We're missing Baldur the Brave. No sign of
that
him at all.
That would be interesting. Yeah, Baldur would be a better choice personally.
Yeah, I mean, considering, I mean, the retcon that he is in fact Odin's son. But I mean, even then, he was still an important character in the Thor universe, even with sans that.
That's true.
You know, like, I'm interested in, like, okay, maybe he wasn't in one because you want to focus it on Thor and the Warriors 3 and Sif. But I'm kind of interested, like, why hasn't he shown up yet? You know, that's what I want to know. I mean, isn't he, like, the trigger once he dies, Ragnarok begins? Isn't that how it works in the Thor universe?
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, that's such, like, a cinematic thing to do. You have him, and he has a thing where he cannot die by normal ways, isn't it? I could be completely
wrong. He needs to get hit with the mistletoe. He's weak to mistletoe. So yeah. If he gets hit in the heart with mistletoe, if he dies, that right there initiates. You know what? That's why we probably won't see him till 3. They'll introduce him only to get his ass killed.
That'd be horrible. I don't see why would you put Tyr in there. Versus, you know, just substitute him for Baldur the Brave. Don't necessarily call him the God of War, but, you know, he's one of Odin's trusted lieutenants or whatever. I don't know. Like, that's just, like, as a person who's been reading Simonson's run and has knowledge of Thor, you know, Baldur the Brave's kind of a big deal, and it's kind of curious to see why he's missing through two movies already. But we still got, what, a little over a year. I mean,
yes.
He could always come in late, but I think it might be a little too late now, especially since I think they're shooting the movie, so who knows. Any more to say on the subject, lads?
Nay.
All right. Well, speaking of more Marvel Cinematic Universe, this whole block's going to be getting into that. As we know, as of time recording tomorrow, The Avengers officially releases on DVD and Blu-ray, so go out and buy your copies and enjoy the madness.
Already watched it 3 times!
I'm still gonna fucking buy it. Still go buy it because it's gonna be in glorious Blu-ray and 3D or whatever you like. But regardless,
extras. Hold on, extras.
Yes.
Aside from deleted scenes, what other extras?
There's a Marvel one shot.
Gagreel Marvel one shot. And I think one other thing I'm forgetting.
Plus it's in HD. Anyways, at the end of, obviously, everybody knows that at the end of the movie, we got a glimpse of our favorite Mad Titan, Thanos. And now it's officially confirmed that Thanos will be appearing not only in Avengers 2, but, as a lot of people have theorized, he will also be appearing in the upcoming film release, set to release August 1st of 2014, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Woo!
Now look at the timeline. Guardians of the Galaxy debuts August 1st, 2014, Avengers 2 set to debut May, usually the typical first weekend of May, 2015. Kind of coincidental release schedule. So, and this was released also that Jim Starlin, the creator of Thanos, gave his blessing to use him and that he's not mad anymore. Because apparently he was mad. That they used him and they didn't ask him or something. Not that it matters to Jim Starlin. But thank you, Jim Starlin, for creating Thanos anyways. But this has me super excited, you know, because that means, you know, to see, I think Thanos is going to be the setup villain in Guardians of the Galaxy, and that his ultimate master plan will be revealed in the Avengers, continuing the quote-unquote serialized nature of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, you go from Avengers straight to Guardians of the Galaxy. You don't really need to see all these in-between movies in a way. But I'm so excited, and I wonder how, like, because Thanos is supposed to be imposing. How big are they going to make him? How outlandish are they going to make him? Is he going to be all poetic like he is in the comics? you know, I like the little tease we got of him, but, you know, is he still going to have that fondness for death? You know, will the, obviously the Infinity, you know, will, the bigger question is, will the Infinity Gauntlet or the Infinity Gems play a role in Guardians of the Galaxy? Because we know Thanos is going to get a hand of those one way or another. And, you know,
yes.
So there's so many possibilities, so much excitement. You know, this, like that, it's like that same at the end of Iron Man when Nick Fury says, you know, what the Avengers initiative, this is the same sort of, what can you do next? And so, like, they've had success so far, so I don't see why they can't continue to have success. Needless to say, if you haven't read Infinity Gauntlet or anything with Thanos pre-Infinity Gauntlet, like with the Jim Starlin stuff, you are doing yourself a disservice. Marvel recent release, a $7.99 like prestige issue where they took two of Thanos' issues right before Infinity Gauntlet and of him trying to gather the gems. So check that out. I'm excited. Taser, you are the man who loves the cosmic. You're the man who loves the Infinity Gems and the Guardians of the Galaxy, and of course, we all love the Avengers. What do you have to say about this news?
I think I might need to change myself both front and back. The only thing that has me disappointed in this movie, with the news of this movie, is the fact that it's Guardians version 2 and not Guardians version 1, you know, like Starhawk and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I got Guardians. You know, I'm not gonna be my typical self and go, I'ma just be happy that they got Guardians.
I still say that this could be the one we're watching now, but there could have been a previous iteration beforehand.
You're 100% right. And in an effort to be a bit more hopeful and optimistic, I'm gonna say, yes, let's lean towards that. And give me my Guardians. Damn it to hell. Give it to me now. I want it. Give it to me. I need it. Now. I can't wait for it. Seriously. I want this movie. And I want it. I want it now.
What about Thanos' involvement?
I'm not going to get the spooky guy. I don't think... Okay, here I come back to normal. I don't think we're going to get the spooky guy that, you know, kills half the universe because, yes, now death will love me. We're going to get him planning to do something and then, yeah. If we actually get the guy who kills half the universe because, I will be pleasantly shocked. I don't think there's anything else I can add. I just don't think it'll happen. But, hey, I've been wrong before.
Yeah.
And if I am, please, give me...
I wonder if they'll put Mephisto in there. Well, he's the manipulator to get Thanos to do certain things, you know?
Yeah.
How about you do this? Impress her. Yeah.
But, see, remember, they're still... I don't think they've introduced magic yet to the Marvel Universe, and that's what you're
Thor.
Doing.
I mean, technically, Thor almost counts in a way.
Right? Yeah. No. I know where you're going with this, and you're not wrong. But well, maybe this next movie might address and just kind of say yes, Thor is magic, and not make it look like a bunch of aliens, a la freaking Jack Kirby and the New Gods. You know, give me something that says ooh. You know, gods. You know, so there's no discrepancy. There's no question about it. Don't just leave me hanging with, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, what the hells all over the place. I mean, Mephisto would actually be a good person. He would be a great character to have if they do Doctor Strange. First or second movie, Doctor Strange, you got Mephisto. That would be awesome. How long is it going to be till we get Doctor Strange, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're working out. They want to make the movie, obviously, but, you know, I just think it would be cool to have Mephisto there to manipulate Thanos to impress Death. Like, hey, how about you take on these heroes without using that? That'll impress her. You know? I don't think we're going to get, like, Adam Warlock, or we're obviously not going to get the Silver Surfer, those guys. You know what would be really cool? A hint of the Celestials. You know how cool that? I think that would be the best thing ever. Just a hint of them. I don't want necessarily too much, but I just want a hint. A-Train or Arnold, what do you think about Thanos, the Mad Titan in Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers 2?
Sweet to everything. I'm looking forward to all of it. I really can't wait to start seeing sequels and new versions of all these things coming up, especially Guardians of the Galaxy. I've been trying to build up my knowledge on that. Taze has been a great help in that regard. But yeah, I think it's a lot of cool stuff coming. I remember before in regards, you said something about the Infinity Gauntlet, which kind of ties into a thought I was having about, I wonder how much, if Thanos is appearing in both, is he going to be the main big bad in both movies? And if so, how do they do that without making it seem like it's just a rehash of a villain? So I think what would be kind of cool is if the whole Guardians of the Galaxy did their whole own thing with Thanos, and Thanos then gets his hands on the Infinity Gauntlet and starts making his way to Earth, or finds it on his way to Earth, or maybe the last gem is on Earth, or some shit like that.
Well, there was a theory that the Loki's rod was one of the gems.
Right.
So
Loki's what?
That thing he used to manipulate people. It's in his penis.
Isn't that where everybody keeps one of their Infinity Gems?
Hey, you know, hey, what better way to show he's a magical character?
But yeah, it's cool shit. But that was one of the things I was wondering while we were talking about this, is how much of Thanos is he going to be in one movie or the other, you know? Because just from the scene that we got at the end of Avengers, it seems like, all right, well, now that we know that they can fuck with the Tesseract and be A-okay, let's go and see how well they can deal with me. Or, you know, I guess it's also a matter of time placement, like when does Guardians of the Galaxy take place, when does that, you know, Avengers 2 take place.
My theory is that Thanos is going to hire some cosmic baddie. I don't know, maybe he uses the Kree. Ronan the Accuser leads the expedition for some reason to look for the Infinity Gems. I don't know. I could just be spitballing here. And they realize, like, at first it's just, oh, they're trying to stop, you know, I'm just throwing out the name of, Ronan the Accuser. Just throwing the name out there. It could be replaced easily with somebody else. But they realize, oh, this is much bigger. And, of course, isn't one of the Guardians from Earth originally, at least this iteration, is it Peter Quill from Earth?
Yes, he is.
So there's that connection of, like, you know, the Earth connection right there.
Oh, okay. Well, that, yeah, I can see that.
He's going after my home planet now.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm still super excited that we're getting a lot of these characters on the screen. It's great. You know, little by little, we're getting more and more of them. Even ones that we really didn't think would be getting priority and getting stuff coming up for them, you know, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and stuff like that. But Marvel, as we've said before, or at least I know I've said it once or twice, they're always willing to take that risk. Although with the movie, it's a lot more risk than a risk on a $4 pop comic, but it's still cool, and I'm looking forward to it. Always got me excited.
Yeah, you know, before we move on to more Guardians of the Galaxy, well, actually, you know what? That's perfect for Thanos. Again, if you have not read the quintessential Thanos story, which is Infinity Gauntlet, and Taser, you read the Thanos Imperative, right? Would you recommend that as a good Thanos story?
Not for a first one.
No, but I mean, like, if they liked Infinity Gauntlet, would they like Thanos Imperative? Because there's not really a lot of, like, good, like great Thanos stories, unfortunately.
Well, see, kind of, and unfortunately, I fall into this. Most of Thanos's up to this point, I honestly, before Thanos Quest and Infinity Gauntlet, I didn't have a whole lot of reading background on the character because, you know, he was dead, you know, and this is before I even started doing back issue hunting or anything like that. When I was in high school, high school or just out of high school, that's when, you know, this, you know, Thanos Quest Infinity Gauntlet came around. It was like, oh my god, did you read this story? You know? So that's where my experience comes from, you know, unfortunately. I would still say you do. For Thanos, I don't know if, damn, I'm not sure. Because as a character, you know, he was mostly, you know, the guy who Captain Marvel fought.
Yeah.
And he wasn't as awesome. You know, he wasn't that big a deal. We're talking Darkseid hanging out in a freaking helicopter guy.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
He appeared in Iron Man. Like, I think he was an Iron Man foe for a little bit, too.
He might be. You know, I'm honestly not... I don't know.
The Thanos everybody knows and loves comes after 1992, that's for sure.
Yes, agreed.
Basically, just read Infinity Gauntlet. Because, like, it's funny, because, like...
No. I would say, if you want to do Thanos, you can't just do Thanos. You have to jump into the greater cosmic stuff altogether. Find Thanos Quest. You gotta find that, because it's from that you really get to see Thanos characterization. Because everything else was just Thanos coming up in this book and then doing whatever, you know, villain of the week type bullshit. This was Thanos given a chance.
Did Jim Starlin do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to find Thanos Quest. Okay. It's imperative. It really is.
It's a Thanos imperative. All right. So yeah, there you go. Thanos Quest and Infinity Gauntlet if you're that person. Also, if you like Avengers and you like the movie, Bendis's current Avengers Assemble storyline deals with the Avengers movie team fighting Thanos with the Cosmic Cube of all things. So if you're into that, I would say check it out. So more Guardians of the Galaxy news right away is now we have a director for the upcoming cosmic movie, director James Gunn, who looks a little bit like a serial killer in the photos I've seen of him, will be directing the cosmic-led movie. I know nothing of this guy. I just have a wish list. I want to see other alien races and not generic alien races. I want to see legit Marvel alien races in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I want the Shi'ar, I want the Kree, and possibly a Skrull. It's a fucking... I don't know if Fox has rights to that, but I want at least the Kree and the Shi'ar Empire cameos in this next movie.
That would be interesting. Would be really interesting. Give me... Please, dear God, give me Gladiator. That would be so much fun. Fun and awesomeness.
That'd be cool. I'm trying to think of other alien races that they could use. Because I wonder, like, if you're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy, the Guardians of the freaking Galaxy, show how expansive this universe actually is, you know? Populate this this universe with tons of characters if I were to do it.
Okay. I look at this guy on IMDb. He is most known for Scooby-Doo.
The first one?
Yes.
I like that one.
Me too. The 2004 Dawn of the Dead.
Scrappy was the villain.
It was great. The 2004 Dawn of the Dead. The 2006 Slither.
Oh, he did that movie?
Yeah, and 2010's Super with this dude whose name escapes me at the moment.
Rainn Wilson?
From The Office, yes. He was also apparently the writer of the recently released video game Lollipop Chainsaw.
That game was so nuts.
Are you serious?
Yeah! So this is the guy who is directing the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Such an odd pairing.
Such an odd series of movies like that on the listing or, you know, credits. And something else, which is a TV series apparently called PG Porn.
Huh. It shows versatility, if anything else.
Yeah, and he wrote or did both Scooby-Doo movies. So he's a writer, producer, director. But not a bad list of credits, I must say. It's quite varied, which would help if you're doing things with varied alien races. That could be something that's right up your alley there, Ben.
He knows comedy because of, you know, I gotta admit, I watch the first Scooby-Doo now and still get a kick out of it.
Yeah, and I have yet to see Super, but I heard it's great and I heard it's fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say good things about Slither as well. I admittedly haven't seen that one either. So, I mean, going by his credits and such, and then knowing that I've seen stuff that he's done, or knowing the things that I've seen that he's done, it seems pretty cool. It seems like a very broad spectrum of you know, various movie worlds which could help in something that's supposed to be encompassing the entire galaxy, so to speak, and having all different alien races and things and stuff like that. So, hey, let's see what he's got.
You know, give it to Marvel to give it to guys who are not really that. Except outside of Kevin Branagh, the guys who have directed these Marvel movies are not heavily seasoned veteran movie directors, which is, you know, right, giving them a chance. Taser, what do you think about this guy directing one of your favorite characters?
I honestly, the fact that he's directing the lollipop freaking thing, that tickles me. But yeah, thank you. And you know what's weird about that? I actually went on YouTube, what was it, about 2 weeks ago, and just watched all the story stuff, you know, not the mind, just the story stuff, and it tickled me the fuck up, you know, I couldn't help but laugh at it. But what happened? I still don't know, you know, James, what else has he done?
Scooby-Doo 2, Slither, Super.
2004, Dawn of the Dead, and Super.
Oh, he did Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, the 2004 Dawn of the Dead. I think that was the one with Mekhi Phifer, wasn't it?
Yeah, and
in the mall with the zombie birth? With the zombie
birth? Yeah, that remix. See, okay, you know what? Okay, I kind of... Damn, I didn't realize he was that guy. I actually own that movie on DVD. And if you know me at all, you know I don't buy too many movies on...
Exactly.
I don't buy many movies. Yes, I bought that. You know, that was a movie that I just had to have. And he did... the Super, you said? The one with Joe Pesci?
No. Rainn Wilson. It was Ellen Page. It was like
he's actually been in a lot of his movies. He was in Slither. He was in Super.
Who was he in Slither? Because Slither was funny. I'll give him that.
It's uncredited, it says, but he played a character named Hank.
That does ring a bell.
Citizen Toxie, the Toxic Avenger 4. This guy gets more and more awesome with every credit.
And you know what gets me though? Slither was one of those really disturbing things. It was like you had the daughter that was in the bathtub, and you know that little juicy worm is there just wriggling. I'm like, oh, she's about to get a nice thick visitor up in the tight place, you know. And when it jumps in her mouth and it's like trying to wiggle itself in there, I'm like, yeah, that's right, you go down her throat. But then she has a moment of common sense and she bites down on the fucker. And then you have the chick in the barn, and you just see her all massive and swollen. I'm like, woo! Usually that kind of thing would be, you know, done to a guy, but no, this is a woman, and she... Everything is just stretched all out of proportion. You know, you know what? He did Dawn of the Dead, the remake of Dawn of the Dead, and he did Slither. I kind of have high hope. Well, not high hopes, but I got good hopes for this. Because I really like those movies. One of them I own. You know, it says something that I spent money on. So, yeah, I'm optimistic. I'll say that. I'm optimistic.
Is there the credit listing? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize she... Because I don't pay attention to that shit, you know?
Right.
It's like, this director, that writer, you know, it's the actors who you really pay attention to, and, you know, how they, you know, give off, you know, how they emote, and the dialogue, you know, the dialogue's, you know, a function of the writer, so...
Which is also a function of the director. I want you to feel this.
True, how they portray it, but the dialogue strictly comes from the writer, and you know you can have somebody emote well, but giving off a really fucking lame comment, you know, a line. It's like, I don't want to help you out of your shoe. The fuck, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, like I said, now seeing what this guy's what his list is, yeah, I'm kind of hopeful here because I liked quite a few of those movies. So I'm again out of character for me, but here I am holding my hands together, hopeful.
Oh my God, it is the beginning of the end of the world. Jesus Christ.
It's 2012.
Yeah, put it in the thread.
So needless to say, we're all pretty much gung ho and excited for the Marvel Cinematic Universe after Iron Man 3 starting.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm really hopeful for? I want to see Idris Elba back as Heimdall, and then just watch more people go, there's no black men in Valhalla, in Asgard. No black men. But then kind of ignore the Asian Hogan.
Because nobody cares about...
Oh, yeah. Said, nobody cares about Asian people. I'll say it.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're all very excited. And Taser especially, which is truly, truly out of character. Who are you? Did you just get Jeff Conned? Let's move on to our book of the week, which is going to be the Spider-Man number 5 of 5, the final chapter of the meeting of Miles Morales and Peter Parker, Spider-Man of Two Worlds. I really liked it. I think if I was looking for a quintessential fight scene at the end of all this, I think I would have been disappointed, but I wasn't. It was nice. I didn't think it was the greatest thing ever. You know, hardly ever, and not everything can be the greatest thing ever. I did like that spread, those two pages of Mysterio fucking with everybody and showing them their world's, their greatest nightmares, especially seeing Aunt May impaled with Dr. Octopus's tentacle. Like, that was, like right through the stomach. Like, jeez.
Yeah, it was.
And of course, that's Miles' uncle beating killed his mom and dad with a lead pipe. It's a lead pipe.
You know who he looks like there?
Does he look like
Deadpool? I swear to God, no, he looks like Deathstroke.
With the gun pointing like that, and the mask.
Yeah, I mean the mask is Deadpool, but that just that position, with the gun pointed and the bloody club.
A little bit.
I saw Deathstroke for a hot second. I swear to God. That was just me. I just needed to get that up.
And Miles goes into the regular universe, doesn't get any farther. It's kind of like that. That reminded me of a video game where you go into a new world that's going to be in the next game, but you can't go any farther, so you get stuck in this room. Yeah, that reminded me of that. Of course they defeat Mysterio. We all knew they were going to defeat Mysterio. And my favorite sequence of the week was Peter Parker giving him advice. It's like, don't ever let anybody clone you. Date one girl at a time. If Doc Ock's going to marry Aunt May's going to marry Doc Ock, please stop it. Don't let Wolverine or Mockingbird lend them any money because you'll never see it again.
That would have me crying.
Great. I said that was missing one more, like, little flub or, Spidey joke of embarrassing moments. He should have told them, if you ever get the desire to make yourself a spider-themed car, don't do it.
If you go to the crime scene, leave as soon as you can, because otherwise they're going to make you clean it up. And, of course, typical fashion, he's trying to tell him one more thing, and Tony Stark shuts him off. And speaking of dialogue, Tony Stark's little, like, you're not going, like, Nick Fury's like, you're not going to go near that. And Tony Stark being like the annoying little brother, I'm going to touch that. You're not going near that.
It was great.
It was great. You know, in terms of characterization, in terms of what, in terms of that, I got what I wanted out of this miniseries. Like, that to me was the point of all this. And, as this is the, they did this because this is the 50th anniversary of Amazing Spider-Man. By the way, we are doing that show the week after New York Comic Con. Look for that later in October. Anyway.
Yay!
All our love about Spider-Man. So, I mean, out of all that, plus you combine some fantastic art by Sarah Pacelli. It's the reason why I dropped off some Spider-Man, because she moved to this and I picked this up. And I got to say, it was really good. It was a really good time reading all this. I had fun. It had great character moments, which was over the past 8 years Bendis has been at Marvel. That's what he's excelled at, is not necessarily the action stuff, which is written really well, but the character moments, the just the sit down talking, the witty banter. That's what he's been known for, and he still can do it with among the best of anybody else. And of course, the cliff, quote unquote, cliffhanger esque ending where he looks for a Miles Morales in our universe, because, if there's one person here, there has to be another person here in this world, and just, oh my god. So, I don't know if this is going to continue in either Ultimate Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man. I'm not reading either books, so I don't know, but regardless, it's a self-contained miniseries of a multiversal crossover, multi-crossover universe, infinite, Crisis on Infinite Earth, universe of heroes. This is a fun miniseries. I give this a solid 4 out of 5. It was really good. If you like Spider-Man, and you want like if you like Spider-Man or Bendis has written Spider-Man or just like Spider-Man at all, you'll like this. I'm pretty sure you will. Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5. I really had fun with this mini. And now I say goodbye to both characters because I'm not reading any other books. Taser, you have contradictory thoughts to mine.
Okay. The series in general, I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed that last bit where Peter does the, you know, the obvious thing and looks up Miles Morales and, you know, you get the oh my god moment. And personally, I think that he finds him dead, you know.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, that just kind of makes, you know, that to me makes sense. He finds him dead, and that's why you would have that reaction.
My roommate suggested that the only dark-skinned 13-year-old running around involved in Peter Parker's life is the kid named Uatu in the Horizons.
The bald kid?
In the 616 universe.
Okay. Uatu. All right. So you think that might be his real name or something?
or something like that, which would be interesting. But I totally thought he might have been dead, too. I would be hard-pressed to see them push that Miles was a Spider-Man before Spider-Man, but I have a feeling maybe he died.
Yeah. That just kind of makes sense to me, you know? But it would be interesting to see, you know, saying he died exactly what he died of. You know, that I think might be the interesting thing. And not even – he doesn't even have to be a kid. He could have been an older man, you know? And, you know – whatever, I digress. I thought that was an interesting bit. I agree with, you know, DJ Benny Ben. The characterization, the interpersonal conversations in this were just fucking awesome. I really liked the dialogue between Fury and Tony, between freaking Pete and the kid at the end, even listening to freaking Mysterio talk, just like no, just getting that like no, you are not taking this from me, and seeing him as he's fretting, I gotta know, you know, I gotta know, I locked him away, and he's gone, yeah, he's I, damn it, I okay, I'll just. Just take a look, and then I'll close it right quick. And as soon as he opens up the portal, wham, fucked up, you know. And I think everybody here knows what that's like. It's like you just need to check, and as soon as you take a peek, you get hit right in the eye, you know. So that actually strikes a bit home, in more ways than one for me. Too many memories. Art-wise, Pacelli's art was, I don't know, I think our art was a little off on this one, to me. I don't know, it didn't feel right. I don't know, things just looked a little off in this one. Like, that one shot where he's, you know, Mysterio comes over and then they're all waiting there looking at him. And I'm looking at Hawkeye and Hawkeye doesn't look right at all. You know, Thor is looking like his father, and I don't know. You know, freaking Spider-Man is looking taller. You know, he's like, ugh. I'm like, wow, when did he turn into a He-Man? And most of all, I don't like Tony's armor because it's the movie armor, and I know it's, you know, modeled after, you know, the movie Tony's modeled after the Ultimate Universe, and so this kind of matches that, but that I don't know, it just bugged me for some reason, you know. Again, that's the fanboy in me. I didn't like, and I really didn't like this, although considering what happens here, it was either this or somehow killing him. Mysterio finding out that, you know, he knows that Peter Parker's Spider-Man, well, he can't stay over here with that knowledge because that puts too many people at risk. So what do? They keep him over there. okay. You know, there really was only three if they have a telepath on board. You know, there's only three ways to deal with that. And I don't know, it just kind of bugged me that they just kind of went, well, we'll keep them over here. Wait, really? We're doing that now? And they were all like, okay, good, fine. Even Peter Parker was like, hey, thumbs up. You're
good. Shut off my back.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's the thing, because if I'm not mistaken now, this Mysterio, it is the one and the same Mysterio. He was just hopping back and forth between universes. So
I'm not sure, because, see, in this one, he's... I don't know, he gave off a feeling like he was the 616.
Mysterio beforehand.
He's the ultimate Mysterio, because he had all of those different suits in his lair, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I think they're one and the same. So the way I kind of dealt with that was, if you imagine this story
we've already had a crossover with the Ultimate Universe and Rate 616. We didn't even know it.
Right. So you think that they combined basically the Mysterio that we've been seeing here and the Mysterio that's been in the 616 the whole time has been the same guy?
Yes. And he's just been hopping universes. So the way I dealt with the whole him being kept there as not seeming as fucked up as it was is, you have to imagine if he was in that universe without the whole Spider-Man thing going on, fucking shit up, and they caught him, they wouldn't have sent him back to our universe. They would have put him in prison in their universe.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, that's not too bad. Although that says, all right. See, now I was willing to give Ultimate Mysterio a lot of props for discovering a dimensional portal. Right. You know, the guy was a special effects wizard. In the 616. I don't have a whole lot of experience with Ultimate Dude, so
He showed up in Ultimate Spider-Man towards the end of it during Death of Spider-Man, and this is the first time we've seen him again since. So we didn't know much about him, hence why I connected him to just being our...
Okay, alright. Well, the fact that he was able he discovered it and built a device to travel back and forth. Wow. You know, I mean, we're talking...
Tony Major Stark was impressed.
Yeah, exactly. Tony Stark was... He would have been that little guy in the corner going, yes, can't wait to get my hands on him.
He wasn't exactly a member of the Sinister Six you were afraid of.
Yeah, but he's somebody that looked at something and then thought up, ooh, look what I can do with this. You know, so, yeah, he had Tony in that, you know, with that mindset. So that kind of tells you what he managed to do. But, you know, all that being said, you know, Miles comes over here to bring Mysterio back and blah, 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 blah. It was a bit of a lackluster finish for me, but again and all, I'd say this particular issue, I'd give it maybe a 3.2, but still in all, the series in general, yeah, 4.5. You know, it's definitely worth the trade pickup. It's definitely worth that. You know, I'd say go back out there and get the individuals. You know, read it now, because it's a good read. Good, solid read. Go get it.
All right, Arnold, what did you think of Spider-Man number 5?
Right off the gate, I'm in the same realm as you guys. I'm giving this a 4.5 out of 5. Read this story. It's fun. It hits all of the dramatic highs and lows. It's got just fantastic character moments, lots of great banter. Like, just seeing all these characters together and seeing them mix and all the effects and potential ramifications that can or have come from this. It was just great. I loved every issue of it. Like Ben said, I wasn't really expecting a full-on, you know, brawl or fight or anything like that. Honestly, aside from the fact that he was the one who connected the universes, you could have done this story completely without Mysterio. And it would have still held the same emotional weight. It would have still had the same impact. The story would have essentially been the same, because you really only saw Mysterio in issue like maybe 1 and 2, and then in these issues, and maybe a little bit of the one right before it. So out of a 5-issue mini, in total, I would say he was in 2 issues worth when you count the amount of appearance that he had in it. So you really could have done it without him, but I understand, you know, he was kind of a ends to a means. But I did. I loved it. It was a fantastic ride. Now that all of the issues are out, I'm very much looking forward to going back and rereading it again as a whole. I really am wondering and also hoping that they will somehow pick up where on that little cliffhanger on the end, whether it'll happen in Amazing or I don't
know. Next year when they relaunch the book.
Maybe. Maybe it'll come into play there. Because I don't really know how you'd be able to do it in the Ultimate Universe without bringing Peter Parker back to it, unless you do a whole thing with Miles just hopping over there and finding his counterpart. Maybe if you did it that way. But I feel like then it kind of just makes it a rehash of a story almost, or at least would make this story kind of lose its impact. So, but I do hope they pick up on it, because to leave on a cliffhanger like that, man, it was like getting to the end of the season of True Blood. Like, you live on a cliffhanger, and now I gotta wait a whole year before I find out what's about to happen. Shit like that pisses me off. But I did. I can't say it enough how much I thoroughly enjoyed this series. I highly suggest you pick it up, whether it be a trade, whether it be in the single floppies. Definitely, definitely a read.
Yeah, I'll say this right now. At least for Marvel, this is the best miniseries they put out this year. Considering...
Ouch.
Yeah. well, they don't put out a lot, so not really saying much. But yeah, if we're talking about like...
I don't think it got the fanfare that a certain other, miniseries is getting.
You know what? So, the smart people know to pick this up.
No, they don't.
No, they do. It's fine. Yeah.
Because we need to tell them that's why we're there.
We're gonna be championing this book. This is a kind of book you can hand to your dad who likes Spider-Man. And like, here's a Spider-Man book. There you go.
We need to get Sarah Petrelli on our show so we can give her accolades and cases of myrrh and gold and frankincense.
People still giving out myrrh these days? A lot of myrrh floating about?
Where the fuck do you even find myrrh? Alright. So yeah, Spider-Man.
I'll do it. I'll find it, damn it.
Spider-Man number 5. We all liked it. We all liked the series in general. Go pick up the issues. Go pick up the hardcover trade when it comes out. It's a really, really good story. Next, time for individual reviews, people. Let's go to Arnold, who's sticking with the Ultimate Universe and giving us an update on Miles Morales with Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 15.
Yes, number 15. That is correct. So, Ultimate Spider-Man number 15. This is still kind of in the realm of the United We Stand, /Divided We Fall into the United We Stand storyline. That's kind of, they're not necessarily connecting in the X-Men, Spider-Man, and Ultimate books in the Ultimate Universe, but they all have the same kind of underlying issue going on. And, the world has gone to shit, revolving around the stuff that happened with the mutants, and sections of the state, of the country rather, are either fucked up, quarantined, or have seceded, like Ben's wonderful, wonderful state. But yeah, so this deals with primarily what this issue was more about. It was less to do with that, as that was more of a background, where this was Miles Morales meeting the Ultimate Universe's Maria Hill, who is investigating into the death of Miles' father, and for those that aren't reading or didn't know, was the Ultimate Universe's Prowler, who they teased to still be alive, but they're kind of trying to piece it together to see if Spider-Man actually killed the Prowler, thus making Miles having killed his uncle. But, seeing some of the things that they were saying about how he was mostly small league, and then out of nowhere he started stepping up his game, and they found explosives and stuff laid down there, so it may not have looked like that Spider-Man killed the Prowler after all. So Miles' father's all up in arms about being questioned. He's like, he's a little kid. He doesn't need to be dealing with this kind of stuff. He should be focused on school and things of that nature. Speaking of school, he finally gets back to his school, and he's in his room trying to work out the web shooter that was just given to him by Aunt May in last issue. And him and his friend Genki are fucking around with that in his room and firing it off at the ceiling and discussing the whole, the formula that Aunt May gave him, and the two of them wondering how the hell they're going to figure out how to remake this and they run out and stuff like that. But it was good times. I have to say, Genki is one of my favorite non-powered people in this book. He's just awesome. Like, it's like Spider-Man or Miles, the current Spider-Man Miles has his own personal fanboy with him all the time. Because that's just totally the way this kid acts. He says the craziest shit this time around. He was telling him about trying to get a catchphrase or just saying random shit every time he beats up a guy, and that's going to make them super famous and stuff like that. Just really fun moments, but total moments that you would expect from 12, 13-year-old kids where one has superpowers and only one other person knows about it. These, I could totally see these. You know, it makes me think of my nephew. You know, these are the kind of things I could see kids their age doing. It may sound silly and cheesy to us, but I think it's funny.
Wait a minute. So they basically have the same dynamic as Static and Richie on Static Shock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right. Yeah, all
it's
right.
Like that kind of buddy-buddy relationship, you know, that it's his best friend, and they're not necessarily outcasts, but they're kind of in their own little world together.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm enjoying it, and so school gets let out because of all the shit that's going down in the city and with America going. And Miles decides, you know, oh, now he can actually focus on being Spider-Man because he doesn't have to worry about school, etc. So he decides he's going to go help. And he tries out the web shooters for the first time and goes sailing off to go help Captain America and lands in the middle of the fight. And Cap looks at him like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I'm here to enlist. I want to join the Ultimates. And that's where the book ends. So I highly doubt, as apprehensive as Cap is, I know he's supposed to be training him and whatnot, but I doubt they're going to let it. 12, 13-year-old boy joined the Ultimates. Again, it is a Spider-Man, so I don't know if they'll have much say in the matter. But it was a good read. All in all, I'll give it a little bit less than Ultimate Spider-Man. I would give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I really miss reading this book. Especially for Genki, or I can't pronounce his name.
Genki.
Yeah, just for him, because I know not when the book came out, I was like, he was one of my favorite things in the title.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I can't wait till the trade of the second volume comes out so I can just go ahead and start reading it.
Yeah, he's great. He's shaping up to be a really good character. I hope they do some more stuff with him. I'm sure they will. But yeah, it's been a good time. They're doing a great job of still keeping the supporting cast. Now that the torch has somewhat been passed, as it were, or rather, now that the web shooters have been passed, I'm hoping that this doesn't exclude Aunt May and Gwen or MJ out of the picture completely. But again, I don't want it to feel forced if and when they do appear, but I'm still hoping that they will stick around for a bit. But yeah, it was good.
And Taser, now we go to you. Is this the final issue of Avengers Academy?
I don't believe so.
Okay, but you're getting close to saying goodbye.
Yeah, unfortunately. And based on this issue, that's more a tragedy because this was a good story. You know, final exam, whatever, you know. I didn't pay any attention to that. I just, you know, went with the flow as it came along. And basically we have a whole, we have a conclusion to Jeremy Briggs' attempt to save the world by making only the people he designate worthy of having super abilities have them, you know, making use of a bit of tech that should be still in play now and no longer is, because the mighty minds over there at the House of Ideas has kind of looked at it and went, okay, yeah, that's there. We don't care because we want to go off and tell, you know, stupid shit involving mutants and solidarity and sovereign nations and Captain America acting like a dick. Yeah. Basically, Jeremy Briggs, I don't know, did I review this like I think 2 issues ago? I think I did.
I believe so.
Regardless, okay. Long story short, Jeremy Briggs is the one that got away. Jeremy Briggs is he's able to convert matter, you know, from one thing to another. And he's very intelligent, and he's running a company whereby he wants to change the world, and he managed to bring Vale over to, into his crew. He had come to the kids at the academy because he had come up with a way to save her because her powers were basically forcing her to, you know, lose cohesion. And he did so by means of that bit of Stark tech with the nanobots, which turn your powers off. And to me, that just seemed kind of like an obvious thing. If Stark has this tech, freaking Pym knew that a few of these kids were really seriously being affected by their powers. Why not use this tech to turn them off? and then they could have a regular life. Because, you know, the people that were really being affected by their powers didn't really want to use their powers. They would rather have had a normal life. Duh. But that's what he does, you know? He gets rid of, he turns Vale's powers off. She's solid. You know, she can do the mambo and, you know, she can't fade and go into tight spaces or anything like that anymore, but, like, she cares, you know? Here, Briggs had come up with a plan that he was going to launch missiles that would spread the nanobots all over the place and take everything away from everybody, even Captain America and, you know, probably guys like Iron Man that would do something and the Hulk and blah, 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 blah. And only the people that he designates worthy of having them would have them. So naturally, the others, you know, they're not down with this. And, you know, it led to a fight and a few of them, they got stomped. The two characters who have magical items, White Tiger and, what the hell is his name? The Hispanic kid, Reptil. They had their Reptil! They had their magic devices taken in the last issue. They had to confront their respective magic, whatever the hells, and say how much they desire and would earn them back, which I just looked at that and went, oh, give me a fucking break. But regardless, it got done. They got the powers back. People were shocked. And now, okay, it's time to stop Briggs. So first page in, Briggs launches the missiles. You know, it's one of those, oh, holy gee whiz fuck moments. You know, he's got some decent backup because he has a girl who really does seem like the Enchantress, but she's younger. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But, you know, they managed to mess with her. Julie / Lightspeed, she chases after the missiles. And, you know, everybody dogpiles on Jeremy. And they managed to do something. They scratch Enchantress. And she's like, ah, you ruined my face, my glorious face. Jeremy, screw you. You said I wouldn't be hurt or touched. I don't like you anymore. I'm going to leave. And she leaves. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, what the hell is that? You know, you know, you pinch a girl's button and she's like, okay, get out of me. You know, sex is over. What the hell? anyway. Lightspeed is getting backup help from Vale. Vale's kind of hard pressed to keep up because, you know, it's like a couple of, you know, it's a couple of missiles. They're moving really fast and then they start breaking up and, you know, time's running out. So they come up with a plan. They get into contact with, another base that Briggs has and they tell the men working there that, yes, I need something that's in lab 47 or whatever the hell it was. And he's like, well, I don't know what's in there. She's like, just put the cameras on there. So they turn on the lights, put on the cameras, and you see that's where Joe Cass is being held. And she's being held in one body because there's no outside portal, EMF, you know, or otherwise. By turning on the cameras, they actually give Joe Cass a link bridge to break out and then do what they got to do. And take out the missiles. Meanwhile, the fight against Briggs is, you know, thump, thump, thump. It goes all over the place. He really puts a hurting on X-23. You know, I mean, he blew up her stomach, you know, which, you know, kind of takes her out of the... Well, that was the start of it, and then he turned her sweat to acid. So that's a hell of a thing to see happening. But fortunately for us, she had fallen out unconscious with her claws extended. And Finesse grabs her arms and stabs him in like the forearm and the leg and like the leg above the knee. So basically she struck two major arteries and this guy couldn't heal himself. He was, you know, he was bleeding out. You know, so she's like, you know, give up or, you know, you die. And he's, I can't believe you did that. You know, I'm going to die. Don't you see I'm trying to rule the world and this, that, the other thing, and finesse? You know, she tells him, look, you could do all this jibba-jabba, give up. And he's like, all right, fine, you win. So she takes, and, you know, most of the others have been taken out because, you know, Briggs really does know how to use his powers, and he's intelligent, so he's, you know, pretty creative, and he's put most of them down. He also doesn't know when to shut up. You know, see, this is the big villain problem. Shut the fuck up if somebody's trying to help you. Finesse starts giving him first aid. She starts tying up his wound. She's got his arm done, and she's working on his leg. And he's talking about how, yeah, you know, this really doesn't, you know, do anything because I'm just going to get out, and then, you know, I might start working for, like, AIM or, you know, the government, you know, might, you know, haul me in to work on that X-Men and Avengers problem. And then, you know, I'm just going to do what I was going to do anyway. So in the end, this doesn't solve anything. And, you know, I'm going to be the most this is a quote. I'm going to be the most popular guy in America. And at the end of the day, I'll get exactly what I wanted. And Finesse looks at him and she goes, you're right. So she takes the bandage off his leg and walks away. And he's like, what are you doing? You can't do this to me. This isn't right. I'm like, you douchebag, you know? And she lets him bleed out. You know? This guy, all I can say is this. What she did wasn't right, but I completely understand and I kind of support it, you know? Because this guy was unrepentant. You know, there was no talking to him. He believed in his actions, you know, somewhat justified as they may be, but he went about it the wrong way. But he was just going to continue to do things that were going to screw people over, and he would benefit from it. And, you know, considering what he's capable of, fuck it, he had to die. So she lets him bleed out. And, you know, the others, you know, come up from being beaten unconscious and, you know, from downstairs, and Lightspeed shows up and, you know, they're looking at him and he's dead. And it's like, well, now what happened to him? She goes, he lost too much blood. He died. Which is simple. And it's obvious. He didn't lie. She just doesn't say exactly how that happened. And you know what? None of them have a problem with it. You know, and I quote, he would have killed us all. There was no acceptable alternative. And what's his name? Metal. Big, nice, kind surfer guy. Quote, I killed the guy in the war with the serpent. Bothered me a lot. This? Not even a little. They all turned their backs on him. Like, ah! So, you know, there's a wrap-up, and, you know, people talk about what's going to happen, and, you know, there's, it's nothing else that, you know, really needs to be mentioned here. But it's the end of the story, and basically it's how the story itself gets resolved. And you could argue that, at least in Finesse's case, she would have failed the Avengers final exam, you know, because she let the guy die. I mean, you know, there's just no getting around that. She let him die. But she had a good reason to let him die. On a moral standpoint, I'd say she's kind of clear, you know. Based on a lawful standpoint, I'd say she failed, you know. And the repercussions of said, you can see that they're going to be dealing with it. And I think that's the important thing here. I like this story, you know. I've been enjoying the whole run so far. I would give this, I'll give it a 4.2 Warriors out of 5. It wasn't as totally satisfying as Pacelli and Bendis's Spider-Man thing was, but this was, you know, taken in its entirety. This was a good story, you know, especially with these characters and, you know, the general mishigas that, you know, surrounds them. This was really good. I'd recommend at least this story for anybody who's never read anything with Avengers Academy before. And yeah, I know you, Agent Purple. I know you love this too. So, you know, no need to go, yes, I like it also. Ha ha. Yeah, go out there. And, you know, at least when this comes out in trade, because I'll cross my fingers, hopefully it does, get this. This was a really good story.
Well, sucks that it's being canceled. Anyways, I'm gonna know that pain. I'm gonna know that pain with four of my titles starting in October. So yeah, I'm really glad that you actually liked this series and that you've stuck with it this long, and that it lasted nearly 40 issues, which is pretty impressive for a team of new characters. That big A probably helped. But last but not least, I'm reviewing Daredevil 18, and oh my god, it's getting bad for Matt again. Or is somebody fucking with him? I don't know. So last we checked, before the All Red issue, Foggy had kicked Matt Murdock out of the firm, basically said, get the fuck out. You're losing it. You're starting to lose it, because he found his dad's, Matt Murdock, Foggy Nelson found Matt Murdock's father's remains inside his cabinet drawer. Yeah. Matt doesn't know how they got there. Foggy doesn't care how they got there. He just knows that Matt has been hiding his dark demons ever since his book was renumbered a little over a year ago now, and he's been skeptical ever since. So this was like, fuck it, get out. I'm tired of this. So Matt is trying to figure out, you know, what the hell is going on, who's trying to set me up, and you know, Foggy's trying to hold the phone on his own. He's trying to help this nurse who's in trouble with the mob. She's being accused of killing a mob boss. Meanwhile. Matt is still with his girlfriend, Kirsten McDuffie, and he goes to his house, I'm assuming it's his house. Yes, it's his house. Actually, it might be a hotel room. No, it's his house. And he hears a familiar heartbeat. There's another one. And he smells something familiar, like, no, it can't be. It can't be this. It turns out it's his ex-crazy wife who he put in an insane asylum, sitting in his bed as if nothing happened. Asking, where are you? Where have you been? We're married. And Matt is going, what the fuck is going on? He knows himself, and I know he put her in the insane asylum. Her parents put a restraining order on Matt Murdock. What is she doing here? He can smell her. He can hear her voice. We see her. She's there. And, you know, she's acting as if nothing happened at all, and that everything's just been hunky-dory. And meanwhile, Foggy... he goes to Foggy, of all people, to, like, I need help with this, despite the Foggy doesn't want to talk to him. And there's a great panel of Foggy has this look on his face, like, I don't want to fucking talk to you right now. It's, like, a really great example of expressionist cartooning. And so he's trying to get to him, trying to get Foggy to help him. Foggy eventually does. And it turns out that Matt Murdock goes and fights some mob bosses who are connected to the nurse storyline. And so Foggy does some investigating of his own, and, like, he says, Matt, you know, it's not funny that you're doing this. You're pranking me. And he's going to have him committed. And the last page is, like, you know, about me, what about Mila? It's like, I'm looking at her. She's in the insane asylum right now. And there she is right there. Drugged up in a straitjacket in the insane asylum. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Either Matt is losing it again, which is, you know, I guess, quote unquote cliche, or somebody is fucking trying to intentionally fuck with him like this. So it's somebody he has to know, because I don't know a lot of people who remember that he actually had a wife, that he was married for a little bit.
Honestly, I didn't remember. I didn't even know that. I just found out just now.
he met the girl in Bendis's run, and he married her in Brubaker's run. And then I believe it was like the Mr. Fear storyline where he made her crazy, and so he had to put her in the insane asylum for it. So yeah,
he made her crazy.
No, Mr. Fear did, like, the toxin. Okay, and right. So, like, you know, you're talking about, oh, they're ignoring, like, this is full acknowledgement that Mark Waid knows what the fuck is going on. Fully acknowledges what's going on. And trust me, when I open that page of her there, I'm like, holy fucking shit, what is she doing here? You know, it was that kind of reveal that if you've been reading Daredevil for at least within the past 10 years, you got it was that, oh, what does this mean kind of moment. Somni's art was great as usual. He brings this sort of cartoony yet adult noir kind of feel to it. I guess that's how I would describe it. Very great. Very, very great at expressions. I love how his Daredevil looks, and his action sequences are extremely fluid. I just wish he would draw Daredevil more, because a lot of the stuff he's done with has been mostly a Matt Murdock and Foggy, which has been great. But, man, that last page of still seeing that Mila was in the insane asylum, but then who's the woman in there? Because, you know, it's hard to fool a guy like Daredevil, you know? He can smell you or hear you wrong, and he's going to know you're not that person.
Clone. Huh? Clone. It's the Marvel Universe. Clone.
If it is, I'm not going to. It could be magic. It could be anything. I don't know.
It could be the hand.
I don't know. This is the thing is, I don't know. And I want to know what happens next. Like this book, it hasn't been lingering, but this kind of like kickstarted, like, oh, this is why I love this book again. I give it a 5 out of 5. It was the best book I read this week. It was so fucking good, so good. If you're not reading Daredevil, you have no soul. And I'm talking to you, Taser. All right. Well, there you go. Let's wrap this show up with a little game. The election of President Barack Obama versus Governor Tool Romney, as I'm going to call him, will be happening in November. I'm not an Obama fan either, but I hate Romney even more, despite that I'm a conservative. And speaking of that, we're going to play whose political affiliations in the Marvel Universe. And I'm going to say right off the bat, Punisher's definitely a conservative.
You think?
Oh, fuck yeah. Gun control, criminals off the streets. He may not give a fuck, but if he's going to lean anywhere, he's leaning towards the right. He's also a military man. His family was. I'm pretty sure he leaned towards the right, if anything.
I don't know. I mean, aside from the obvious gun control thing and him being a military man, is there anything else about him that says right lean, you know?
Getting criminals off the street?
Yeah, but that's not something that, you know, only right leaners care about.
Because first of all, Frank Castle doesn't give a shit. But if he was, he doesn't care. But if he was, I think, giving his background and who he is as a character, he would lean more conservative than, say, a liberal. If I'm gonna guess, just judging by who he is as a person.
All right. To be fair. I really would have to dig to kind of disagree with that, but I don't know. I think he might just be, aside from those two issues, I think he might be a centrist. You know, I don't see him leaning this way or all that way. I think he might be close to center. You know, he seemed like a normal guy beyond the fact that he had this, you know, he went through what he went through and then was like, no, fuck it, they must die. You know, I think he might be a centrist. Well, okay, you know what? I'll say Frank Castle pre-family dying might have been a centrist. Frank Castle now, he might swing a little bit
right.
He might swing a little right. I don't think he's like hardcore right. I think he's probably put a bullet.
Yeah,
I don't think he's Rush Limbaugh, but he might tune into like Fox News for 1 hour for one show.
Yeah.
Totally. Let me catch the updates, the highlights.
Tony Stark is definitely liberal, or whatever. I think he's more left. He's definitely a left.
Yeah, he's definitely he's more left than centrist, I would say.
Yeah. What about Wolverine?
He's Canadian. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
he can't vote for shit anyway.
You would think he would. I bet you he's a legal citizen in Japan and the United States and Canada and probably elsewhere too. I bet you
I would like to see how that works, but I'll say this. If he could vote, I think he'd just be an independent. I think he would vote for whoever he thought was the right person for the job, regardless of
smelled right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let me shake your hands and smell you. Yeah, okay, you pass. You know, I think he'd be independent. I don't think he'd be a part of a party.
I think Captain America, I think you said last week, would be more conservative. Not necessarily Republican, but because of his where he's from.
Yeah, a little bit. I wouldn't... Like Frank Castle, a little bit. You know,
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
think, you know, card-carrying and, you know, not a Bible thump or anything, but yeah, he might be a little bit.
Well,
now, what about Hank, though?
Hank
Not Beast, but yeah, Hank Pym.
I think he's centrist. I don't think he leans either or.
Okay.
I think if he's gonna lean, if he is gonna, he's gonna lean a little more to the left, considering what
really?
He does. I think so, just a little bit, considering what he does.
Okay.
Doctor Strange is definitely a hippie lefty, definitely.
Hippie, you think?
I think he's he lives in Greenwich Village. Of course, he's a hippie.
That does not mean anything.
You let me take you around Greenwich Village. You point out how many hippies you see. If you hipster, maybe.
I don't know. I picture Dr. The Sorcerer Supreme as a hippie. I don't know why.
He wouldn't. Hey, guys, welcome to my Sanctum Sanctorum. Here's some shrooms.
Yeah, right? No, I don't see him like that at all. I see Dr. Strange as more bookish. For lack of a better term, very NYU-ish.
He's not a hipster.
No,
hipster. But I mean, like, not. I don't mean student. I mean more stat. Okay. He's more professor like, okay. But like your cool professor, he's kind of hip. He's not all you would say, maybe like what he probably is now, like mid-30s, maybe, like, you know, he's still kind of within your generation, with college, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by like bookish, not nerdy, not hipster, not emo.
He'd
just
be clued in.
He's an intellectual.
Yeah, he's one of the professors that'd be like, let's go have some drinks, and he'd totally be down, and you could hang out with him and not feel awkward.
Yeah.
But insofar as his political leanings,
I think he's left.
He might be central leaning left.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be a clear liberal.
Centrist means you like a little, you get her both, but I think he'll take more from the left side than he does from the right.
Right. I feel like Spidey would fit in that category as well.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Luke Cage?
Oh, Luke Cage.
I think he doesn't give a fuck, but...
He's voting for Black Jesus.
I bet you Luke Cage
Thank you, Black Jesus.
I bet you Luke Cage is the guy who will punch out people who vote Black Jesus just because they're Black Jesus.
They just put it right next to the poll booth.
It was like, we vote for Obama, why? And they list because he's black. Fist to the face.
You know, Luke Cage would be the guy that would see, like, during Obama's first term, when you had those two guys from the new BLA that were, you know, safeguarding the voters at that one building, and, you know, people were like, they're black guys with sticks. Oh my God, let's call the cops. He would be the guy that would show them, like, what the hell are you doing here? You know, he would be that guy. You know, he wouldn't vote for Obama because he was black, but he would be like, you know, seriously, do you fools understand what you're doing here? You know, just being here is causing people to get worried and wet their pants. That's
Colossus
what you did. Anything wrong?
Colossus is a communist.
He is not. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Okay.
He was. He was a communist.
Although that was then. This is now.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that hold true for Peter though? Now?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, he left the Soviet Union for a reason.
Well, yeah, because he got the fuck out because he was a mutant. He didn't have to pull tractors.
Exactly.
They've never come after him for that.
Well, the Soviets. Well, that would be an interesting story.
That's what I'm saying. He left. Let's say within his internal chronology, he had to have left a good 10 years ago. Okay, and he just left. So, what did Xavier do to convince the Soviet Union
mind
that
wipe.
The big...
You're like, you won't let it. Mind wipe.
Okay, you know what? It would have to be that. Because I don't see the Soviet Union going, wait a minute, you want to take the biggest, strongest, most durable people on the planet and then just take them away from us?
Yep.
Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
We did. America.
And taking him to America.
America.
Fuck yeah. Oh, okay. What about Wanda?
Hmm.
If anybody's a card-carrying hippie, it's Wanda.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Anybody that has free love.
I mean, she did marry... Anybody a synthesoid
with alternating reality is could be the shrooms or it could be Wanda. You never know.
I bet you Janet is more lefty. I bet you she's more lefty.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see Janet be a bit.
Speaking of Janet, I miss her. Like, she's been dead for a while, and I miss her. I want her back.
I want her back, but I don't miss her all that much.
I do.
I just want her back because
maybe it's
because
of the cartoon.
I like the character.
Maybe it's because of the cartoon, but I miss her in the comics.
I wish that they had I just want her back because I liked her, I liked what she brought to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Not the powers, but you know, she was actually pretty good as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, and I miss that. So
what about Juggernaut? Kane Marco.
I have to say right, because he's a dick. You know?
So,
okay.
And he hates mutants. He's a dick. And, you know,
I
don't think
he hates
mutants.
He's not
a mutant. He just hates his brother.
Yeah, he hates his half-brother, yeah. He's not a mutant hater. He's just like, fuck you, X-Men. You're in my way.
But I see him because he hates Charles that much.
He would be a righty. Which we all know Charles Xavier's probably a lefty then.
Although I'll say this, I don't see him as being a right in so much as he agrees with everything, but he would be a righty for anybody that would go, you just need to be locked up. Yeah, that's right. I know where one is. he would be for that person. Beyond that, I don't think he really cares. You know,
Bolivar Trask is easily a righty. Anybody?
No argument.
Warren's father is definitely a righty.
Emma
Frost, yeah, she's come from that rich society type. She's definitely a righty.
That's what I was saying. The whole rich aristocrat thing, totally.
But
wrong.
Not the whole Hellfire Club.
Yeah, but you know that wouldn't be because she actually believed. She would do that because that's where the power is.
Exactly.
She believed in, you know, like gun control and all the rest of that bullshit, but because the contacts and the ability to further your own personal goals. That's what it would give her. Yeah, you know. Okay, then what about Scott?
Considering where he comes from, I think he's lefty.
Considering where he's now,
that shit crazy.
That's where he is now.
He's a right wing nut. But like 10 years ago, Cyclops lefty.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair. What about What about Carol?
Carol. I want to say she's centrist. Because I think she addicts to show aspects of the liberal, but because she's in the military, aspects of conservatism will come out as well.
I see her being even-handed there. I'll agree with that.
Thor, if Thor could vote here.
Donald Blake.
You know,
secret identity aside, because he literally almost becomes a completely different person. So Thor.
He is a different person.
No, let's say if he was going by, you know, Sigurd Jarlson. There's a name for you people. Let's see if you remember how far back that went. If he was still doing the Sigurd Jarlson thing, I don't think he would care. I think he would just be whichever one made the most sense.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it would matter to him.
Oh, go ahead.
Ooh, Magneto. That's not a bad one. Fuck.
Magneto's also one you could do a then and now. Although I don't think shift is that large between.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I think Magneto would be like Thor. I don't think he would really care about parties. I think
he would fight both of them because they're in his way.
It comes down to who's trying to destroy my base less.
In the Marvel Universe, the one thing Democrats and Republicans agree on is that mutants should be locked up. I think that's the case.
Which that really needs to be over and done with.
Not really, because they need to be locked up and they're dirty.
No, because to do that, you would have to make it so that the majority of people trust mutants.
How can you not trust the power that they have, but trust some of the people who have way
because
worse?
Because they're born with it, and
but some of those other people are born with it too.
Because now remember, Go ahead.
Honestly, I think it's really because of fear and propaganda and false lies that they're going to take us over, and the fear of being wiped out by an ulterior race. That's why. And the fact that
now, even with the knowledge now that the mutants are next to extinct.
Well, they want to kill them off, and that they want to. And but the fact that they're still around means that there's a chance for that to still happen again. That's what I think. That's what I mean. You're always going to have people who hate. I mean, you still have people who hate black people.
No, this is true. Yeah, no, I completely agree. You're always going to have the radicals. You're always going to have the crazies. I just think on the scale that they do it sometimes. Maybe that's going to change now with the whole Marvel now.
Yeah, not going to happen. They've been doing Marvel mutant hatred for like too many years for that to go away.
For as long as I can even possibly remember
drain.
That.
It's what a lot of X-Men stories are based off of.
Exactly. You wouldn't be able to sell the X-Men, which would be a heavy amount of their comic book share. You wouldn't be able to sell that book if you didn't have mutant hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And not only that, but fear, the mutant fear, that ties into, you know, a lot of shit that teens, you know, tie into, you know, being an outcast, being hated, being misunderstood,
right,
all the rest of that.
Admittedly, is why I jumped into, that was one of the books that I jumped into as well, because that whole message and underlying story resonated.
Okay, well, yeah, and then, yeah, there was shit that was going on in your life that you know, resonated
right.
with, you know.
I was the nerdy, geeky, outcast, gay kid. People don't like you because of the way that you were born. Of course I'm going to go pick up X-Men, you know? That's like, wow, this book was fucking made for me.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
What about She-Hulk? She's a lawyer. I mean, she is a lawyer.
I think she leans right.
She defends.
I think she's a lawyer, and she's been fairly law and order-y, uh-huh. You know.
I would love a series.
I see her as being a bit right, you know, not a whole lot considering her lifestyle, and considering she, you know, got taken topless pictures of way back in the day.
She used to be a slut.
The other side of that, then Bruce Banner.
Bruce, I think he's a centrist. I think he's
yeah. I think he cares, but I don't think he cares for either party. He's just
I think that's another I think that's another one on the list that no matter what side of the party, the Hulk's dangerous. We need to get fucking rid of him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's another one on that list too. We both sides hate him equally as much.
Exactly. He causes too much damage.
Yeah.
Well, what about the FF? Let's move away from the Avengers. What about FF?
Grimm, I think leans to the right. I think he does.
Johnny's just straight up out there. I guess maybe he would probably be centrist, but I think Johnny's so much on the liberal. Like, it's just whatever.
I think
Johnny is a liberal, definitely.
If we were going with 1960s Reed, dude's a fucking conservative.
You shouldn't be invisible. You should be barefoot in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. That's sorry. I laugh at that shit every time.
Smack
I read
it. Sue.
Making babies.
I think now though he's probably again like falls in the category doesn't give a shit, but he's centrist. But I think he leans more, you know, especially with Civil War.
He must be more right though.
Yeah, because of the Civil War stuff. The Civil War stuff and all that.
Yeah, he's more for order.
Prison.
What about Sue?
Sue's lefty. I think she's lefty.
But
she's not like all the way there, but she leans left.
Okay, so she's not as much as Johnny, but she's definitely left. See, now Ben, I don't see Ben as a righty though. I see Ben, I think Ben's right down the line.
Yeah,
you know?
I think Ben is very much this, what is better for mankind as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's it.
Like, it's just about, it was, what's right is right with Ben, you know?
There's
no gray area for him too much, you know? He doesn't think, oh, well, maybe we tweak this. No, this is the right thing to do, and this is what we should be doing. End of story.
That's true. I'm trying to think about, what about Moon Knight?
Wow.
He's conservative, liberal.
It all depends.
He's anti-establishment.
Tea Party. how many other personalities he's got in there? You know? Feminist, anti-feminist. I'm sure there's a KKK member in there somewhere. Him and Legion.
And a male, whatever the male is.
Oh, what about Black Widow?
Black Widow, that's a good one.
Because she started out in the communist regime. Of course, she's worked her way out of it. But
is she allowed to vote?
I don't think so.
I would think she is.
I don't think she was naturalized. I think she's gained maybe dual citizenship, kind of. Yeah. But I don't know if – I don't think she would vote. I don't see that.
I honestly think whatever Bucky votes with, she'll go with that because she's
on. Yeah, if Bucky votes for, hey, jumping on my poll, she'll vote for
is
that.
Is Doom allowed to vote? Victor? Is he allowed to vote?
Victor who?
Von Doom.
He's not American. He's all Middle Eastern European.
Oh, definitely Latveria. That's it. End of story.
He would vote himself to power, like, vote for Doom or die.
Probably. He's like, fuck it, I'm not from your country. I don't care. Vote. I'm Doom.
What about Fury? Both black and white.
White one, probably more right. But if he doesn't like what the right does, he'll just say, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
Black Nick Fury? That's tough. I think he's more right because he was, especially when the Ultimate started, he was in line with Bush and agreed with what Bush was doing. A lot of with like the anti-terrorist stuff, so I think he leans more right.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, if he doesn't like what the powers that be doing, he's gonna say "fuck you" and then go guns blazing. What about Matt Murdock? He's Catholic. I don't know if that helps. He's a vigilante. He's a lawyer. He's also a lawyer, but
yeah. I think Matt, because he's a defense attorney.
Yeah.
And I think he would lean more to the left a bit, you know. I don't see him being, I see him, like, you know, voting yay on shit like gun control and whatever, just, you know, making it, keeping, you know, the restrictions and rules and whatever on that kind of stuff tight and enforced, but not to the extent where nobody could get a gun, even though we all are allowed to have one. I think certain things he might be just a little more focused on than others, but in general, I think he'd probably be maybe, let's say, 20% liberal. You know,
yeah.
not too far fucking gone like Johnny would be, but I think he'd be about maybe a little more liberal than Sue would be. Think a little more.
Mm-hmm. What about... Oh, I just thought of... I'm trying to think of villains. What about your favorite character? The Shocker.
The Shocker!
Because there was actually an issue with Spider-Man where he was like, did you vote? What do you mean not
vote? I promise that was for you. The Shocker.
Well, we know from that storyline, Electro is all about riling up the occupiers.
Oh, he's a liberal. He's definitely a fucking lefty. He's fucking.
What was that storyline where he was paying a visit to that shape changer who was turning himself into Spider-Man so he could cornhole him?
I don't remember.
Oh my god!
No, I'm serious. It was I don't know what book it was, but when he had done a stint in prison, he got out, and because of stuff that went on in prison, he found out that he really liked the idea of being a top and imagine that the person underneath him was like a superhero. And usually it was Spider-Man. I swear to God. And I don't know what book that was, but I actually did see a panel and it's one of those, they didn't spell everything out, but you just guessed exactly what he was talking about. And it was like, oh shit. You know, I think because of that, you know what, he might be one of those I vote right, but I'm a secret liberal at heart because I do this shit.
What about Dr. Octopus? Dr. Otto Octavius?
He wouldn't care.
He wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Egomaniac.
What about pre-arm accident?
We don't know much about him in that regard.
Pre-who?
Arm.
He got the...
Oh. There's not enough on him.
I bet you Norman Osborn's a righty.
Yeah. Well, he would have been a righty before.
Yeah, but it was evident. It was evident when he was in charge of everything. He fucking hated Obama. It's like,
yeah, I think... I totally think Ock is one of those people who wouldn't vote on the basis that he thinks he is mentally superior to all of that shit, and it doesn't matter anyway, because I'm going to do whatever I want.
I can agree with that.
Eddie Brock.
If that would have been any president. Eddie Brock?
Yeah, what about him?
Eddie Brock is all American social boy.
Yeah, he's hard. He's hardline. So I would say he's conservative.
I would say the same thing for Flash Thompson.
He's jumping into his gray areas now because of the whole Venom suit and everything. But before that, I think he's very much...
Cure to cancer will do that for you, like reconsider.
He's very much family values, gung-ho, that kind of deal, especially considering his own home life was fucked up.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Flash Thompson's a righty. I'm pretty sure he leans right.
But how far right do you think he goes?
Not all, but like a lot. Like I would say 30% right.
So more than Matt Murdock and Sue Storm.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What about Hawkeye? All right. Let's wrap this on this one. Hawkeye.
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 Shit.
There's a shit ton of Marvel characters that we could play this game.
That's
on
a
night.
Tough one.
Because he's fun and fucks. He was an outlaw at one point.
But he's very much Law and Order.
Yeah. Oh. Well, now lately, but like his early years, he was.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, he's conservative. Straight up.
He has
a fucking Hitler mustache.
But you know what? I could see Hawkeye. He might be a fiscal conservative, but a social liberal. You know, I could see that with Hawkeye, because he's never struck me as somebody who would, you know, look at something and go, oh, that's not right because of family values or this, that, or whatever. Da, 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 da. He didn't strike me as that kind of guy. Yeah, he was law and order, but he was also social justice.
Yeah.
You know, so he was 50-50.
Yeah.
He was 50-50, you know? That's how I see Hawkeye. I got nothing else on that.
Actually, two more. Kitty Pryde and Iceman. We'll wrap it up on this. You think they are?
I would say middle.
Kitty might be a little liberal. I think she'd be more liberal than Bobby.
You think so?
I think she'd be a bit more liberal than Bobby. Just on her basic attitude towards just about everything.
Professor Xavier is a jerk.
Current characters, because I always saw Bobby as more free spirited, but he has changed in that regard. I guess
he is an accountant.
Youthfulness. He is what?
He's an accountant after all.
Well, not. You know what it is? I think Bobby didn't have a whole lot of characterization. You know, for a long time they didn't do much with him.
I think a lot of people see him as the frozen Human Torch.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. But I think if push came to shove, I think Bobby would be centrist. I don't see him being lefty. For whatever reason, I don't see him being lefty, but he doesn't look like he would fit into the mold of a righty. I think he would be centrist. Yeah, I think he'd be centrist.
Yeah.
I really do.
All right, well, let's go. We could play this game all night.
Oh, yeah, we could go on and on.
So we're going to go ahead and stop it there, but let us know who you think is who, political affiliations, or if they give a fuck at all. What do you think Galactus' political affiliations are?
Devourer.
Me Eat Planet. Who care?
So, Republican, then?
Me Eat Planet, 2012.
He'd side along with Sarah Palin, you know, Eat Planet. Yes, that's right, give me power.
Don't you know you got to eat plants to survive? All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Twitter.com/WordStupidPodcast for Twitter. Arnold takes care of our Facebook stuff. Taser stalking the streets at night. Like you said, and as we announced earlier in the show, as soon as Uncanny X-Force is over and about a month after that, you should be getting me with Brian and maybe one more person still trying to work out that detail for the special edition for Uncanny X-Force, a celebration of that wonderful, wonderful series by Remender. And it's pretty much canceled after it's done over. Also, after the New York Comic Con, which is Arnold is in 2 or 3 weeks now? A month?
It is 16 days away. So 16
days away. So after the week of the New York Comic Con, we will be doing our 50th anniversary special for The Amazing Spider-Man, The Friendly Neighborhood, Spectacular Sensational,
Woohoo!
Spider-Man, our love of Spider-Man, our favorite Spider-Man moments, Spider-Man issues, most hated Spider-Man moments, okay, so we gotta hate, because we have the Captain of Hate and Taser.
Which I'll be seeing on Thursday.
Yes.
In case I don't make it to that show, folks, and ladies and gents, and children of all ages, it is because a Spider-Man actor fell out of the ceiling and landed on me and killed me at the Spider-Man musical.
Yes, and like I alluded to earlier, next week, we've been teasing it. Taser will be bringing his porn review next week.
Review for the Avengers porn parody, finally.
And of course, also, Arnold will be bringing his review on the Spider-Man musical. Oh, it's going to be fun next week. And of course,
I just want to say this.
Yes.
I think that if a Spider-Man actor did fall on Arnold, he wouldn't have a problem.
Dude, except for that whole dying part.
Well, it depends on what he died of.
And by the way, the Hugh Jackman picture for the Wolverine movie. Oh, Lord.
You have not seen that picture. See it now.
I'm going to stop eating. I started talking like a Southern woman. Oh, my. Mr. Jackman. Oh, my. All right.
No, wait a minute. If this is you, then wouldn't it be, excuse me, Mr. Jackman. Oh, you're so sexy. Excuse me, sir. Aki.
I did see the horrible Spanish accent.
Oh, my God. And right there,
segunda raza.
We completely off the rails. We're gonna end it right there. Thank you for listening. We'll see y'all next week.
Utopia is not a nation. It's not a sovereign nation. I got it.
All right, snitches.